What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Misfit Effect with the Burbank Misfits. I'm Ross Starr, as always, and I'm sitting beside the co-host, the excellent co-host, CW.
Hey, how's it going? It's me, CW. I'm here for the podcast.
And today, this is actually CW's show. So go ahead and tell them what we're going to talk about
it's
today.
It's my show today.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, today, we're going to talk about unintentionally funny moments in, like, movies that you weren't supposed to laugh, but you laugh because you're cold-hearted or you just thought that was funny, even though it wasn't intention. Like, you could tell they didn't intend it to be funny. Like, when somebody dies, and you're like, ah! And it's like, no, you ain't supposed to laugh at that. But you're like, ooh, we got to look in the room and be like.
Yeah, because I know you're like, before we started, you were talking about losing Isaiah. So I'm trying to think. I already got a part in my mind that's not supposed to be funny. But I think we probably think about the same part. So go ahead and explain the part you were talking about.
Okay, so this is part losing Isaiah. It's a film that stars Halle Berry, Samuel Jackson, Cuba Gooding Jr., and Jessica Lange. Yeah, because she plays the doctor lady, and a couple other people I don't remember. But it's a part where Halle Berry, she's strung out.
Well,
drugs.
She also has that that one woman from that is the alternate mom of the people.
Oh,
not Jay Lewis, but the other one.
No, that's another woman. I think we're confused. But anyway, getting back to it. But there's two parts. There's two parts in that movie, actually. It's when she goes in this grocery store and she's like strung out and it's Domino on the radio, on the TV, on the video. It's like, a ghetto jam is about to slam and you can't get enough of me. And so... So she's stealing, and the police catch her, and she's like, get off me. And she's like, I can't tell, jam, to slam, can't get enough for me. And she's like, getting arrested, and she's like, like, totally like, what you imagine, I guess, a crackhead being like
yeah. But it's supposed to be like,
what other part are you talking about?
Apple Deuce.
Oh, yes. Are you talking about when the kid's talking?
Like, because, like... during the part, whatever, it's supposed to show that, like, he's not stable, whatever, and that she's trying to give them all breakfast at this part. And basically, they were out of apple juice. And, like, she was like, we got some orange juice, I think she was talking about. And he said... I want apple deuce, apple, and like he just is stumbling, like,
and then
she has a nervous breakdown for a second because she just couldn't handle it.
Oh, all those moments when they're like, yeah, he a crack baby, don't forget.
Yeah, and it's like you're not supposed to laugh there. What it was like,
you know, another part that makes me laugh and cry was she like at the. Community center, and she's like, we're going to work on your reading together, okay? And she's like, she must eat all the vegetables to make sure the baby is healthy. I threw away my baby. Oh, yeah, another movie that's all the way unintentionally.
But she played
funny.
A crackhead twice in movies,
yeah.
So...
Hey, Daddy, suck your dick, Fat Alice. Jungle Fever. That was, oh, man.
And Samuel again.
So. Mm-hmm. You know who plays a good fucked up person that's funny, unintentionally funny to me? What's her name? Tandy Newton. She was on For Color Girls. She was the one that was like, I sleep with all kinds of men.
You gotta realize I refuse to watch that movie.
Okay, do you remember Beloved?
I've never seen it.
Oh, my God. Okay, so... When Tandy Newton isn't using her real natural voice, like, well, she's been really good in a lot of things. Don't get me wrong. like she does in Westworld. I don't know if you watch Westworld. But she was the love interest on Mission Impossible 2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When she does another accent, like an American accent, she either, to me, sounds like she's trying to be like really ghetto or like a slave. It's like no in between. It's like, oh my, I can't do it. Even Norbit, she sounds kind of weird to me.
Well,
but
yeah.
She was in For Colored Girls. Oh, that whole movie was unintentionally funny. You can take your AIDS with you. No, you can't give AIDS back. You can't give AIDS just back to somebody like that. You can't you take it with you.
I don't really want to jump off topic, but
you coughing.
You know, the reason I didn't watch that movie was...
Because you were in the play and it was...
Yeah.
And blah, blah, blah. It was hilarious if you watch it. I mean, it's not supposed to be funny in a lot of ways.
Well, let me finish, though.
You played the guy that threw the kids out the window. Oh, yeah, that was hilarious in the movie. Hilarious.
No,
they threw him out the window, and then
because,
you see police
because
and
like,
out, like, oh,
because
babies,
like, we had to do that part more than once, and like, every time we did that play, the play I was in,
was this for Professor Mumford?
No, this was an independent person.
Oh, because you know he always reminds me of T.D. Jakes.
I see that, but like every time I was in, like every time we did it, whatever. Every time I dropped the kids, like everybody just started laughing.
Ah!
It was like please. It was more laugh. It was more laughter than it was like shock is like it's supposed to be, you know? So it was like, like some of y'all are just cold hearted.
I mean, in the movie, it's just unreasonable. You'd be like, I'm mad. I'm through these kids. And then you're just like, this is uncomfortable. I don't know
because,
what
to
do. All I can do is laugh because he just killed kids.
Like I didn't have any lines.
Yeah.
I didn't have any lines at all.
He didn't have any lines. He's just. Beating the ass and dropping keys?
No, because it was
a
voiceover. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's one of you know what the thing is problem with the movie? One of the big problems with the movie too? Is that they didn't change that. Like they tried to make a movie, but they didn't change like the monologue style of stuff. So somebody's like, and we were going and I got a train ran on me. And now I don't know who my baby daddy is. Now I'm about to get an abortion from Macy Gray.
I think
what the fuck?
I think it was more so
what
like
the fuck?
I know one of the
and
times
now she's drunk and she dipping her tinsels in like whiskey, and then I'm still gonna get this abortion. Like, come on!
I know one of the
can't
times.
You scrap up
$350? I dropped the babies. Oh, like, because they gave me baby dolls, of course, but like one had flipped on the way down. And it fell like directly on the head. So it made it more funny than what it intended should have been. So, but yeah, stuff like that, like I can see
What's
your point.
Another movie where it's unintentionally funny when people get hurt or killed or something bad happens.
It's a lot of movies like that though. They just like all of a sudden like, You're supposed to be like all sympathetic, but it's just like even TV.
You know what part I kind of chuckled at? Okay, damn, is this another Halle Berry moment? Yes, it is. In Boomerang, because that has such a fucking great soundtrack.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Anyway, it's the part where like Eddie Murphy's character, which if anybody is young, you gotta see Boomerang. It's like an all black cast and they're all being professionals and it's not like, hey, we black. It's not like, hey, I can, you know, groove too and I'm a, you know, professional. It's just
and,
like we're professional.
And it's more professional and they're like it's funny and like it's majority all comedians too.
Yeah, it's hilarious. It's a part where I guess I'm ruining the movie. We'll go watch it anyway. It's a lot of funny parts. Oh, yeah, John Witherspoon's part in it is hilarious. Anyway.
What do you mean, like, That's a titty. No, that's what like that dude,
what's
like.
What's up with you?
Like.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he can't. They can't.
Mushrooms.
Yeah, something like that. But it's a part where Eddie Murphy comes back home from being with Robin Gibbons because he's like, "Oh, I really love Halle Berry." And then she's like, "Where are you?" And he's like, "I was like." And then he's like, "I love you." And she slaps him, and she's like, "Love would have brought your ass home last night." And then, if you know that song, "Love would have brought you home last night."
Is that Barry J?
No, this is Toni Braxton.
Oh yeah. One of those 90s make you like regret your relationship songs.
I mean, I don't know about it. She has some good hits. She can sing. They're all kind of talented.
No, anyway. I'm not saying she wasn't. I'm just saying, like, you think about her songs, is like that one is "Unbreak My Heart."
You know, R&B, man.
And then did a song with Robin Givens, like, "He wasn't man enough for me." If you saw the video for it.
She had other songs.
No, I'm just saying.
But yeah. I mean, yeah, a lot more sad. But that's like R&B.
Mm-hmm.
Rhythm and blues.
I mean, but blues. All she did was the blues. Like, well, all her, like, the ones I know her for the most. Or all the, you know, I have man issues, or he's my dead. Man is leaving me, or he died, or you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What other movies? Because I'm drawing a blank.
You're drawing a blank of movies.
No, I'm not drawing a blank. I know there's plenty of movies where it's part. Parts where you're not supposed to be laughing, and what's
I mean, but there's a lot of movies that like are supposed to be like comedic, whatever, not comedic, but
dramatic,
and then it's just funny, cause like I was sitting around with a friend of ours, like we were sitting around with this rapper, his name is Ha, and Ha the rapper. And we were sitting back watching Short Circuit.
Oh, you're talking about the Oh God, that's not even supposed to be dramatic. It's comedic.
See her, like what part am I laughing at?
You're talking about the input part, aren't you?
Yeah, that's dramatic.
Okay, where Ha was high, and he was like, "Oh, input means like sex."
And like it made so much sense, though.
I guess it did make sense.
And that's why it's funny to me. It's like it's not like that wasn't part of that wasn't one of their jokes.
I mean, Ha is a pretty smart guy. He is pretty successful.
Yeah, you know, he is.
It was a good smart thing to make that kind of parallel. I'll have to agree on that. Yeah, I'm still getting the levels high. They can hear me. Okay, got it.
I'm just making sure because we want to.
Maybe we should. If he's not busy, one of these days.
Get Ha the rapper on.
Yeah.
I believe.
I don't know if you come on, but
no, you, sure.
Maybe we can get the lunch 5. What is it? Lunch 5,000.
Lunch 500.
Lunch 500 on at the same time.
We might have to go to him though. That's.
Oh yeah. Because you know he's living like.
He's living large.
He's adulting for real.
Yes.
But still living his dreams. Check it out.
Yeah. So. But as far as other movies goes, like, I know people might think I'm cold-hearted, but, like, because of my dramatic experience with The Lion King, I laugh now when Mufasa dies.
He'd be like,
ah! No, like, when I was in college.
Oh, yeah! Porno story.
Yeah, so I was in college. And, like, I was watching the movie, okay, no problem. And then all of a sudden, like, halfway through, like, I'm seeing Mufasa fall and was like, "Long live the king." And then right before he hit, It was two people I know just recorded their homemade sex tape over the Lion King movie. So all of a sudden, like, I just see a side to one of my friends who I never want to see that side again, because it's him getting fellatio from his girlfriend. And it was just like, at the time, and it was like, huh.
Hey, man, how you feel about, like, if you had a kid, would you have their name rhyme?
Oh, you mean like, I'm trying to think of that actor name. Go ahead. Like, I wouldn't really want to, but I would want it to flow, but not rhyme.
What, like, if his name was like Roy, his last name was Roy, your last name was Roy, and you're like Troy Roy.
No. It doesn't even sound, no. It's just like, would you name your son John Johnson?
Maybe.
I wouldn't. That's just.
John.
I mean, no. And like, I'm not going to say who I'm referring to, because I use that for a specific.
I use that for a specific reason.
But like, you would just think someone's lying to you if.
My name is John Johnson. But that's different. Because it's Jonathan Johnson, and not Johnson Johnson. Unless it was Johnson Johnson, and then that's
weird. I said Jonathan, but still.
But what if it was like Johnson Johnson the sixth?
I mean.
You'd be like, I guess you were just born into this, huh? You had no choice.
I mean, there's another one where was referring to that made me think about it. But if it was as John, and his last name was Johnson, so it's like. John is John Johnson's son. You know, they're just doing a little bit too much.
Too much.
But I'm trying to think of other movies that, like, it just make you laugh for like, no reason. That's not necessarily supposed to be funny.
You know, I like, actually, sometimes I laugh when people get killed in movies. And it's supposed to be like a dramatic kill, or like, I'll be like, ah, that's so funny. Like, look at their face. Or like, they'll be like, ah, oh, yeah. Okay, remember Sugar Hill with Wesley Snipes?
It's been a while.
There's a part where Clarence Williams III dies because he gets like a hot dose of heroin, and he's like, whoo.
I just thought about a movie. Ooh. I just thought about a movie. Okay. Ooh.
And he just, like, slumps down. He's like, oh. And he's, like, overdosing, but I can't help but crack up. Oh, my God. I'd be like, he's dying. It's hilarious.
See, it's fucked up. You know, I was watching this horror movie. Horror movie has a lot of random funny parts. That's not supposed to be comedic, because it's supposed to be horror. I'm talking about Tales from the Hood.
Tales from the Hood is fucking great.
That's
like
not
what? Like, welcome to hell, motherfuckers.
Yes!
Like, you're like, oh, this is hilarious. And they're like, they're looking like putties. They're all burning in, like, with the CG fire, yeah.
And like, yeah, when you said his name, that made me think of directly of just that part. And the way that he said it, it was like, it was all getting sucked in. And then, like, you know, I don't like to use the N-word. Don't get me wrong. But that entire Dial skit, and he was talking about...
you little nigglets. That was hilarious.
And the way he kept saying it, like...
Nigglets. Like, what?
It was so much emphasis on it.
Nigglets.
And, like... Along with this whole, the entire side of my racism, you seen...
What about you? What about helping me out, brother?
On a side note, I'm mad that dude ended up in a mental institution at the end of that one.
Looking back, that one was very Lovecraftian. Like, you know, that happens in a lot of Lovecraft stuff, like... The protagonist kind of makes a mistake,
but he ended up
doing something wrong and ends up
But did he? But unless he ever tried to insinuate, he just was insane, and he was the one doing the killings, and then he went to hell.
That's probably what they're thinking. Or I don't know. I don't know, man.
So,
but it was good.
But
what was the one with David Alan Greer and the guy from Fear of Black Hat? Ice Froggy Frog.
I'm trying to think of the point.
The one where he was the abuser and the kid could write the pictures, and then
He
started folding the paper. And he was like, "Bitch, yeah!" And he folded his ass up, and then they ripped it up, and it was like, "Oh, he dead now." You know what?
That was hilarious.
If that was like a case, and I was like, I ran into that after I was that teacher and helped that kid, I'd move the fuck away. I'd be like, "Nah, he ain't gonna fucking." One day be like, "Oh, let me take a picture. This little kid and fuck me up. Because he drawing pictures. Actually, maybe we need to take him out. I'm joking.
But you know what? No, on a
child that could, you know, potentially control reality is
have you seen Higher Learning, right?
Oh, yeah.
And like, I don't think it was supposed to be funny, but me and my cousins were watching that movie a long time ago. And, like, for some reason, my cousin made the part where the dude was talking to, Michael Radcliffe's character in the movie. He was talking to Remy. The main racist dude was talking to Remy.
I think that might have, at one point, was supposed to be played by Leonardo DiCaprio. Imagine him as Remy.
That would have just been... That would have been interesting. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's a part where he says the N-words, them effing monkeys. And the way that he said it, like, with his fingers, is like...
Oh, fucking nigga monkeys.
It was just like, and then for some reason she made it so hilarious the way she kept repeating it, and it was like, now every time I watch it I think of the way she said it. And even though it's supposed to be like, you know, but
it's kind of funny with him, because I can see how it could be interpreted as funny, because almost from the see if you look at his interview, his stuff in like regular life, you could tell he's probably uncomfortable saying it, but he's from a place like where he's probably heard people say a lot, black people and white people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
well, he wasn't one
New York, right?
Remy wasn't the one saying it. It was the other person we're talking to.
Oh, you're talking. I know you're talking about the one guy that was like skinny and stuff. He was fucking like these people that grew up, like you could tell, like in their real lives, they grew up probably like in a very mixed.
Yeah.
That's the funny thing. All the people that played neo-Nazis were like people you could tell grew up
around
and worked around a lot of like black people. Like, what Michael Rapaport's first like big movie was Zebrahead, where he was like,
I've never seen that.
It was an interracial love story.
Because the first movie I can remember him from in general. But then I'll go get to that next. That was that just talking.
Oh,
about.
Bamboo! That's a whole lot of hurtful but unintentionally funny stuff. That movie really messed me up for about 2-3 years. I thought everything was racist.
Cause like, but no, with my like, his Mr. Report, like the first thing I can remember him from is Higher Learning. That's the first vivid. But he's done a lot of other stuff that I was like, okay, he did really well on that. But I always seed him as Remy for the first, like the next six movies or whatever movies he did after that. He was Remy. That's Remy. So, and even though it was just a character that is the one I identified him with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm about to say. But yeah, when it comes to Mamboozle, oh my goodness, Mr. Damon Wayans and
Pierre Delacroix.
I don't think that necessarily was supposed to be funny, but the way that he did a lot of his scenes. And he, even the whole...
My art. Sloan Hopkins.
I mean, that's it.
Mantan. Man Ray, we come Mantan.
But do you, like, honestly? My father. Do you know who I can, you already know I can see that really doing that in real life, though. Huh? Who I can see doing that in real life.
Who's doing that in real life?
Oh boy, Rube.
Who's, oh, I thought you were talking about someone out in the media.
I was talking about, you know, just someone in general.
Oh, your friend Ruben, who's a very avid Trump supporter.
I mean, Trump is a whole different story right now, and we don't have...
If you're wondering, Ruben is black as the asphalt. It makes no sense.
He makes, like this, if y'all
see... But I understand someone wanted to live in that world where race doesn't matter.
Have you seen the Boondocks? He makes...
He's Uncle Ruckus.
He makes Ruckus look like he's anti-Trump. That's how pro-Trump he is.
Yes.
You ain't thinking about it like, he kind of does... And that's why you're over here smiling. Like,
he makes Ben Carson look like Bernie Sanders.
Oh, wow.
What's up with that? I don't understand. Like, I understand. Okay, here's the thing.
And he grew up politics. He lives in the hood, too.
Fiscally conservative, want to keep your money and shit. But, like, yeah. Do you really want to run everything? The government, there's things that you don't realize. Like, when you live in a nice place and you pay taxes, you complain about paying all your taxes, go to a place where people aren't making money and the city's not getting a lot of taxes. Go to Gary, Indiana. Go there. And I want you to be like, hey, I don't want to pay any more taxes. This is what people, there's no money in the city.
They're selling homes for a dollar.
I know. Let's buy some homes. Let's be slumlord.
This is the second episode you're talking about being a slumlord.
Slumlord.
I mean, I don't know as what I don't know as what with you as slumlording and you know.
Be a slumlord, but really I want to make, you know, affordable housing. I'm going to rent it. I want to rent it. And then in the center of these blocks and stuff, you have a, you know, community center that like people can go to once again, like you used to be able to, and then you know, hire staff that's able to staff that. But then also, you do, like, classes for, like, you know, the adults in the house after they come off from work, you know, and then they can actually spend time with their kids or something like that, you know, once a month or once a week, have, like, a community, like, dinner, but also offer, like, re-education classes. Like, people, you know, I know everything's digital and stuff, but people don't know how to balance their checkbook. They don't know about taxes and things like that and opportunities. The thing is, knowledge is power, and if you give people more knowledge, they can have more power, you know, especially if they don't have financial power. So if you give people some knowledge and, you know, like traditional education, yes, that's great, but like you can accrue a lot of debt. Let me tell you about like going through a traditional route, and you see so many self-made millionaires, and there's so many people I've met in my neighborhood and across very different neighborhoods that like are in careers that aren't using their gifts. And if they had the more education and could believe that they could transcend the, you know, status that they're at, then they would. So that's kind of what I want to do eventually, is help people transcend their, you know, economic status and, like, you know, education status, you know, through like real world education, because that's the thing. People don't know how things really work. And if you can tell people how things really work, then they can get along better.
You know, like, honestly, two things actually. I'm gonna, one, I actually wanted to bring a topic up like that to talk about for a whole episode, but I didn't think you would be into it. And we just went completely opposite of what we were at. But I think, like, we should do an episode just about that. I think it would be interesting.
Yeah, hey, yeah, I guess we could.
I mean, like, I feel that you have a lot to say.
I do.
Especially yeah. Like, you know, Chris is very educated, you know. He has a degree in, you know, stuff.
He's got a couple.
Couple of degrees. And, you know, so like...
psychology and sociology.
So, and that's basically...
about people.
Yeah. So, matter of fact, so we were going to record two podcasts today, so we're going to... Yeah, we are.
Oh, shit. Okay, that's cool.
And we should make that our second one. So, next week, just go to the next one, and... hear us talk about that. Just so we can just so we can go ahead and continue on this the movie topic that's
okay.
The uncontrollable laughter side of, you know, things that are not supposed to be funny. Just like Mr. Crack.
Oh, some of those parts in like Transformer movies where like supposed to be like you're supposed to be like, oh, this is a dramatic moment. Like this part, like at the end of what is the second one? He's like, give me your face, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? It's been so long since I watched that movie.
I've never seen Transformers. You don't realize, like, a movie has to really interest me. It has to get me to, it has to make me want to watch it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, honestly, like.
You know what's unintentionally funny? All of Blade Trinity.
Because it was so bad?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Because, I mean, like, if you had, like, you think about it, you have, you have Hunter Hearst Helmsley doing, I don't know what he did.
It was not good.
I mean, I think that's probably why he hasn't really acted in anything since.
The whole movie, like, and then the fact to find out that, like.
Hey, do you blush?
That's, oh, my God.
Was that two or three? Was it?
I can't remember.
Do you blush?
I think it was three. I don't remember.
That's Rickman, isn't it?
I just, to find out, to find out that, like, it was a clusterfuck, and then half those scenes where you're like, is that Wesley Snipes? That it wasn't Wesley Snipes, that it was a stunt double, and he's just, like, parts where you're like, why isn't he just bothered, like, is he even caring about being, like, it, to find out that he was like, nah, I'm just smoking weed in my trailer and being like, ah, and he would only, the funny thing is he would only pass notes to the director by, like, post-it notes. And the director at one point told him, like, we got enough coverage. Like, we don't even need you to shoot the rest of this. Like, what? Like, that's crazy. I love the first two Blade movies, though.
I mean, I just think, like, one, he didn't really want to do it. It was more so contractually obligated.
Nah, I already wanted to do it. I heard they treated him like shit because they tried to do this, you know, build up these spinoff characters.
Mm.
Damn it. What the fuck?
I mean, but they're trying to redo it now.
But with who?
They're using Jamie.
Who? No, they're not using Jamie.
Jamie Foxx.
He's about to be Spawn.
Oh, shoot. Who was I thinking about? It was someone they put out there that...
Sticky Fingers was Blade for a little bit.
You know they can pick up that audio, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to... I was trying to turn it off.
I might just wait 10 minutes and not.
Man, you know what?
I know what. I know
not
who.
Tripping.
I'm not tripping. I'm just.
All right. So, what's next we getting on this break?
Huh?
Anyway, sorry. Started to get distracted. So, what's unintentional? What's unintentionally funny about everything?
I mean, there's a lot of unintentional.
When your friends fall down sometimes, and you like, you laugh, and then you're like, are you okay?
So, check this out. This is why he says that. So.
I don't say that. I mean. I do say that because George, is when he falls, it's kind of funny. It's not funny, but it's funny. Like, you'd be like, especially if you fall hard. And you're, like, in another room, you're like, damn, he must have, like, did he fall off the top bunk? But there's no top bunk. I'm like, damn.
No,
then to watch him fall, it's like you're watching a video. And somebody slowed his half speed. And you're like, do I just catch him? And then sometimes if you go to be like, hey, he'll be like, no, just let me... Let me fall all the way down. Then one time you fell, and he just laid there, like, the rest of the day?
Yeah, probably.
At 2:15? Like in the living room?
Yeah, because like I like, the thing is like when I fall, you know, because I have a, you know, ailments, you know, so when I fall, like, it's just, I fall in real slow motion. It's like, is he falling? Is he falling leaning?
Like a quarterback.
Like what?
Somebody about to tackle him and he a quarterback, like, I'm sliding, I'm trying to avoid this injury.
I fall slower than that.
You like, you really, you know, you fall out, you be like, boom. He's like, one, two, three.
Like, y'all ever seen a feather, like, flow to the ground? Like, that's how I fall. It's like, should I catch him? And the thing is, it's like, I'm aware of that, because the entire time, during that entire transaction, I'm trying to catch my balance, and, like, it's not coming. But sometimes I do. It gives me enough time to put my arm down and, you know, protect myself from, you know, more serious injury, but.
Yeah, there's been times where he's been like, I'm falling, nay. I'm like, whoa, what's that? Like, whoa. Damn, man.
We're supposed to be talking about movies, not my collapsing. Not
collapsing.
Because there's a lot of funny movies, funny moments in like horror movies and stuff like that, as opposed to like I'm not gonna count Freddy because that's supposed to be horror comedy. Because Freddy himself is just.
I mean, they did the remakes and stuff. Yeah, I mean, the first one is actually kind of scary, but by the time you get to like three. No, by the time you get like the fourth and fifth one, he's like, bitch.
Is that Dream Master?
I'm gonna kill you.
Because I know two is.
Three is Dream Warriors. Four is. I can't remember.
Is that the one with the little kid? Like.
No, five is the Dream Child.
Okay.
And then six is Freddy's Dead.
And two is when he goes to the...
Oh, yeah. It's the kind of, hey, I'm gay, Freddy. It's the gay Freddy movie. Two is the gay Freddy movie. Look it up.
I thought that was when they went
Freddy's
to...
Freddy's Revenge is the gay Freddy movie.
What makes
when him... the guy, when he's like... When Freddy's like... You've got the body, and I've got the brain. And then they have that weird scene with the coach in the locker room when he's like, get in the showers. And then, like, yeah, it's really
weird. It's been a while since I saw it, because I remember.
At the beginning, he has a dream about being on the bus, and it's on a cliff. And then at the end, they have another dream that's on the bus and the cliff.
I thought two was when the kids were, like, locked up.
That's three.
Okay.
The Dream Warriors. The one where Lawrence Fishburne lives. To the end.
Didn't he live through a Jason movie too?
Did he?
I'm sure he did.
Might've.
Yeah.
Damn, Lawrence Fishburne. Hey.
Lawrence, we need to make a meme of that and just put his picture on it. And just say, I survived Freddy and Jason movies. Black men do live.
I found the one, and I survived Freddy and Jason.
Because like Eric,
and a porn scandal with my daughter,
and I was prominent in those movies. I wasn't just there and then disappeared. And I'm talking about Bill Bellamy and Scream.
Or like they cast me as a white character in a movie, Perry White.
But they didn't.
I mean, those movies suck. Kind of sorry.
I mean,
even though I did enjoy Man of Steel, I have to.
I mean, they made Billy Dee Williams a white character.
Oh yeah, cause they just that bad. Billy Dee. Oh yeah, he was Harvey Dent.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Imagine the Billy Dee Williams is Two-Face.
Would he get the reference?
This coin. See. It's gonna be cognac.
Or Coke 45.
Oh man!
That's hilarious. I guess that would have been bad though. By the time they did do it, it was just horrible.
Oh, you know what's a movie? A weird, unintentionally funny movie that, like, as, like, I know collectively as black people we laugh at, but we all, like, really sympathize and really, like, we laugh at it because it makes us so uncomfortable. What's Love Got to Do with It? We all laugh at that movie.
Do you know?
And it's somebody's true life. But I know the fact that we... But, you know, that's the thing about the black community, I feel. We work off of gallows humor.
Two things really quick. One, I was talking about that movie a few days ago. I was talking about that movie a few days ago with someone because they never... Hold on 1 second. Also, I said earlier I was going to do that the one about we were talking about for a few seconds next week. I'm going to do it the week before this. So, to get the week before this. Anyway.
Eat cake.
My mother and my cousin, like, they call each other Ike and Tina, and she's always messing with it. Like, eat the cake, anime.
Eat the cake, anime. I don't want no cake. Eat the cake, anime.
And like that entire fight scene in the limo.
Yeah, I've seen people dress up as them after the limo fight scene for Halloween. How fucked up is that? But hey, it's not supposed to be funny.
Keep on rolling. And like,
I know I wrote the side song, and he was like, and like, Eric, get out of the thing.
And like, don't get me wrong. And when I say this, I'm not.
Anime, if you die. I could. Like, damn.
Domestic abuse.
This is fucked up. I can't help it. I'm so uncomfortable.
On a side note, when she burnt her hair.
Uh-oh. That, you know you need your ass whooped. That was intentionally funny, and I found that hilarious.
And like, I'm like, oh, that's why she had to wear wigs.
And then mama, everybody laugh at that, no, mom, y'all ring me. I'd be like,
I didn't laugh at that part.
People be like, oh, no, man. They're like, you know, no. And it's like, that's also a religion, too. It's just that whole movie Buddhism. Is so overwhelming, I think, that people are like, I gotta laugh.
You gotta find the humor in order to.
Humorous. Like, even like the 5 heartbeats. There's some movies that are like, damn, parts are like, damn, that sucks in it. And you're just like, Eddie Kane, you crackhead.
Well, that's just, I mean, like, I think some parts were supposed to be funny, you know. Nice like this. I wish raindrops would fall. Nice like this. Or like, hey. You trying to replace Eddie Kane Jr.? Eddie King Jr.? Well, you can't do it. You ain't got it. Oh, man. That's why that's still my favorite movie of all time.
It's a good movie.
Love that movie. Quote it, well, watch it and say the whole thing.
Color Purple. Mostly black. There's a lot of black movies, I feel like. Where we're like, this is a heavy subject matter. I gotta laugh.
Do you know, have you ever seen the play of Color Purple?
No, but I read most of the book.
I mean, like, the play I saw in Chicago was, like, it was really...
Some real fucked up shit. Everybody really gets good. Raped in that.
And, like, they...
Like everybody.
They went through with the other side of it, of saying that Whoopi Goldberg's character actually was with the...
Oh, with Shug Avery.
Yeah, Shug Avery. So it was like they actually went through with it, and like it ends with her and Mister on the bench, whatever, both like sad because he left both of them.
Oh yeah, like damn, they were bummed out there, like damn, my baby gone, and then she came back with a husband, like who the fuck is this light skinned motherfucker? Sister,
mama,
mama. Mama Boonie. That's the part you laugh. You're like, oh, and Mama Boonie. Mama. You're like, ah, I'm crying, but I'm laughing. Because, like, it's, like, his voice is so, like, deep, kind of. And you're like, is it like a voiceover? Because he's like, Mama Boonie. You're like, damn. And you're like, oh, this moment, shit, it's getting to me. I got to laugh because I don't want to cry.
But, oh, shoot. So, we hit 45 minutes. So, everybody out there in the world.
Sitting at the head of your table and looking like a waiter.
We really appreciate you listening. This is probably episode 14. I don't know. We might have hit 15 soon. But thank you for watching. If you want to find us, that's, first of all, it's the T-H-E Burbank Misfits on Instagram. We're Burbank Misfits on Twitter. We're Burbank Misfits on Facebook, just like our fan page. We do have a website if you want to just see all of our podcasts and what CW and myself both do as a collaborative location. It's BurbankMisfits.com. If you want to follow CW, it is CC Fitness LA on Instagram. CC Fitness. And on, it's also the same thing on Twitter. And his business pages.
On Facebook.
CC
Fitness.
So you said it wrong. You said CC Fitness.
CC Fitness.
You did the name of your business?
That's, I don't know. That's my business. And if you just want to follow me personally, it's just _ genetics _ Chris.
You can find me at Raw Star on Facebook, Instagram.
He's someone's
Twitter.
Thing. Raw Star.
Yes,
don't use his real name.
Two R's. R-A-W-S-T-A-R-R. Yeah. But yeah, thank you for listening. Tune in next week. And thank you very much.